This is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of June 27th, 2021, and it's entitled, What is the Church? It's taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. The call to worship is based on Psalm 25. We lift our souls to you, O holy God. We trust the Lord with our past, present, and future. Teach us, Lord, that we may know your ways. Guide our every move, Holy One, that we may walk in your paths of love and mercy. Let us worship the one who leads us in what is right. Together, let us worship God. Amen. Amen. I have a question for you. What is the church? What is the church? What comes to mind when you hear that question? Most people use the word church as shorthand for the building. I'm going to church, meaning coming to the building. What is the church? Some describe it as being organized religion. So does church only happen when we form committees and write constitutions? What is the church? Is it individual Christians? Each one of us had to make an individual personal choice to recognize our sin and accept God's gift of forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Does that make each one of us a church with no need for others? I can do it all myself. Biblically speaking, is the church a building made out of wood, steel, and cement? No. A church building is the place where the church meets, but the building is not the church. Is the church an organization? God the Father has designed his church to be organized, with Christ Jesus as the head, and the Holy Spirit gifted and guided leaders to add in the spiritual growth of believers. Is an individual the church? As we've seen, each of us must make a personal choice, but God has decided his church is corporate. We see this as the Spirit's gifting is distributed among the body of believers. No one person has all the gifts. And we hear it in Jesus' promise to be with us. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, For where two or three have gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. Today we are looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we are in chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Paul, in describing the riches and privileges in Christ that Gentile believers have now received, teaches all his readers about the nature of the church and answers the question, what is the church? Let us begin by reviewing what Paul has already told us. In chapter 1, Paul reminds his readers of the amazing grace that God has extended to believers in his plan to forgive and adopt us into his family. Then he prays that the Holy Spirit would help them to grasp how amazing this gift is. In chapter 2, Paul reminds us of what we were saved from and our hopelessness apart from God's intervention on our behalf. Paul then reminds his readers, his Gentile readers, of their isolation from God until Christ Jesus intervened on their behalf. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, the tone changes with the words, but now, as Paul begins to describe that the Gentiles may also be forgiven and brought into God's presence through the blood of Christ Jesus. Jesus on the cross has destroyed the wall of hostility which existed between Jew and Gentile. Going beyond the end of hostilities, Jesus brings both Gentile and Jew together to make a brand new person, according to Paul, which is known, what we would say is known as the church. And Paul expresses this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 to 10. Now listen as I begin reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Today's passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, begins with the word consequently, to tell us that Paul is about to build on what he's just told us. It's like those infomercials that tell you about a great product and then it says, but wait, there's more. And Paul has already told us what God is doing, but he says, because of this, consequently, there's more. Paul now explains to the Gentile Christians the amazing new privilege which they are now included in by using three familiar models of the church. These models help us to clarify what God means when he calls us the church. So first of all, in the first half of verse 19, Paul speaks of the church as God's kingdom. The church as God's kingdom. He writes, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Gentiles were reminded that they were separate from Christ, excluded as citizens of Israel and foreigners to God's covenant promises. That's where they've come from. Have you ever been a foreigner in another country? It can be exciting to visit a new country. But it can also be unsettling to realize that as an outsider, you may not have the same rights and freedoms as a citizen. You may not understand the culture to the depth of those that live around you. And if someone takes a disliking to you, you may not have much recourse. In Canada, if you are not a citizen and you are convicted of a serious crime, you can be deported back to your own country, even if you've lived in Canada most of your life. How about living in a small town? Outsiders who didn't grow up in the community may never be granted the same status as those who broke the land and founded the town, or at least descendants of them. Now imagine you're living in the first century. A mere accusation of a crime may be enough for a foreigner to be banished from a community, losing their home and land and needing to start all over again. Paul is telling the Gentiles, in Christ, you are no longer outsiders. God has welcomed you into his kingdom as citizens. You are citizens of this kingdom. You have all the rights of citizens of God's kingdom. You can relax now. You're home. In Romans chapter 9, verses 23 to 26, Paul makes this point clear as he quotes from Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, and chapter 1, verse 10. In Romans 9, 23 to 26, Paul writes, "What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. As he says in Hosea, 'I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one.' And in every place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called children of the living God." So the first model that Paul gives us of the church is as God's kingdom. The second model we see in the second half of verse 19, the church as God's family, and it ends, "and also members of his household." Verse 19 says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household." In this new creation, formed of believing Jews and Gentiles called the church, we are not just citizens of God's kingdom, we are also members of his family. We are not visitors, we are not household servants, we are members of his household. We are sons and daughters of God with complete right of inheritance and full access to God the Father. We have seen our relationship with God. What is our relationship with each other in the church? Our relationship with God, we are his children. What about with others in the church? We're siblings. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, expressing love for each other and caring for each other as family does. That's what the church is to look like. The church is God's family, God's household. And the third model that Paul uses in these verses, we see this in verse 20 to 22, is the church as God's temple. Verses 20 to 22 says, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So the church is God's temple. We are built on the foundation of those commissioned by Christ to teach and lead the church, the apostles and prophets of the early church, and thus the New Testament scriptures, they record it for us. They become a foundation. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. We see this in verse 20. Essential to the foundation of the church and the rest of the structure that is being built. He holds it all together. Verse 21. What is being built? We're told it is a holy temple. A holy temple. God's holy house. It's interesting, the term used here for temple isn't the one that would describe the whole temple grounds, but the term refers specifically to the inner sanctuary in the Jewish temple that was known as the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt with his people. With this in mind, look at verse 22. It says, "And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Paul is reminding the Gentiles, the former outsiders, that they are also being built into this incredible, living, holy of holies, the church, where the Holy Spirit of God dwells. What an amazing privilege. You may have noticed some homes have signs that say, you know, the Joneses live here. The Church of Jesus Christ, believers' lives themselves are to declare the Spirit of the living God lives here. Wow. With the privilege of the Spirit's presence in our lives also comes the responsibility to represent Him appropriately and according to His Word. We submit to Him. We started out by asking, what is the Church? What is the Church? We've seen the Church is not a building or something I go to or attend. The Church is something that I, as a Christian, am literally a part of. We've seen the Church is not something that's filled with people. The Church is built of people and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Church is not something that is individual. The Church is corporate. And we together form the Church, the household of God, the kingdom of God, the temple of God. What's the purpose of the Church? This is something that can be tricky. As we talk about going to church and being ministered to a church, the purpose of the Church is not to serve and please me. Rather, if I'm the Church, our purpose as the Church is to serve and please God. We do this as, with God's empowering, we live a life worthy of our calling. And as we'll see, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, uses those very words to describe how we may live a way that's worthy of our calling. We are the Church. As individuals filled with the Spirit of God, come together using our gifts together to glorify God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with a benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 and verse 13, which reads, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Become mature. Be encouraged. Be of the same mind. Be at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.